today, is CBA greater or equal to NVIDIA? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. On Wednesday, Commonwealth Bank shares hit a record $181.10 to become the first ASX-listed company to be valued at more than $300 billion. By comparison, the country's second largest company, BHP, has a market capitalization of $192 billion. The iron ore giant has been the ASX biggest stock since it collapsed its British company, but was overtaken by the bank in July last year, when both had market capitalizations around $220 billion. Although the bank's share price eased a little by Friday, it still makes CBA one of the most expensive bank stocks in the world, well above Wall Street giant JP Morgan and British lender Lloyds Bank, which is a similar annual profit, but a valuation that's about one-third of its ASX-listed peer. While CBA shares have surged by almost one-fifth this year, its major rivals have recorded far more modest growth. ANZ shares rose 4.1% since the start of the year, while NAB and Westpac are up about 3%. National Australia Bank is in the midst of senior management changes and has a relatively new chief executive in Andrew Irvine. ANZ has also installed a new chief executive and is being investigated by the corporate regulator. Whilst they are facing some local difficulties, CBA has had stable management led by Chief Executive Matt Comyn and has outperformed expectations most recently in the first 3 months of the year, where cash profits reported ahead of forecasts. It has a dominant mortgage arm and its business bank is also growing. But why is the value so high? That is indeed the question. On Wednesday, CBA shares were trading at more than 31 times what the markets expect will be its earnings next year. That's almost double the two-decade average. That means investors are paying twice as much for the same dollar of profits as they've done in the past. By comparison, JP Morgan shares are trading at about 14 times the bank's earnings forecast for next year, and Lloyds Bank at about 11 times. That 31 times, to reiterate, is almost double the two-decade average. That means investors are paying twice as much for the same dollar of profits as they've done in the past. Morgan Stanley's Richard Wiles is perhaps the most bullish on CBA and still has a fair price valuation of the stock of around $128. Macquarie, Citi and Baron Joe have all told clients they think it's worth around $100. Hugh Dive, Atlas Fund Management's chief investment officer, said the bank was not the Louis Vuitton of mortgages that justify those premiums. They're selling loans to either mortgages or businesses, and NAB, ANZ and Westpac have the same kind of cost structure. CBA's tech is a little bit better. Their return on equity is a little bit high, he said. And I would add that on a comparable basis, Australian banks in Australia are able to charge higher rates and make much higher margins than international peers due to the lack of true competition and intrinsic government support. While everyone seems to agree that CBA is the best bank, the question is, why is it twice as valuable as its major peers? It makes no sense to many. National Australia Bank, perhaps its nearest rival, has matched it for loan growth and has narrowed the gap on return on equity over the past decade. They all pretty much do the same thing: lend big on mortgages and squeeze depositors to maintain profit. This is really not rocket science. And no, they're not in the forefront of AI, as some are speculating. And in a global context, relative to its peers and its history, CBA's share price is extreme. The 31 times valuation is on par with some of the so-called Magnificent Seven tech giants like Apple and Meta, though that still sits below Microsoft, Amazon and Nvidia, who are even more extended in terms of PE ratios. The difference between the big tech firms and CBA, though, is that their profits will on average be 50% higher in 3 years' time compared to 11% for the Australian bank. So if we value them on the current share price relative to their forecast earnings in 3 years' time, CBA's 28 times ratio outranks them all, including Nvidia. How is that possible? Now, some are suggesting CBA will pull back at some point, but as to when, Well, who knows? Other fund managers have been avoiding the stock because they believe it is significantly overvalued already, and perhaps they now have egg on their face. But there are broader questions here too, because as CBA accounts for around 12% of the ASX 200's entire value, some are asking whether it's distorting the share market overall. Martin Curry, a specialist investment manager with some $6 billion worth of shares invested in Australia, has submitted a review to ASIC on the review of the health of capital markets. And it points to the trading of the bank shares as a problem. The concentration and dominance of certain stocks in the index is of concern to us, as it may lead to high index passive buying and lower turnover, its submission to the Australian Securities Investments Commission, published on Wednesday, reads. They say CBA's turnover velocity, which is the annual turnover of the stock compared to its market capitalization, has fallen from 50% before the pandemic to about 30% today. This, the fund argues, for Australia's largest stock, is an unhealthy signal, given it's well below the index average of 60% turnover velocity. And if you look at offshore comparisons, like in the US, the average stock has a turnover velocity of closer to 100%. So they argue that while CBA made up more than 10% of the ASX 200, its shares are traded far less frequently than other major stocks. That in turn locks away money that would otherwise make its way to smaller companies, promoting diversification and incentivizing more companies to list on the equities market. People are speculating that the mix of superannuation funds that closely track the ASX 200 and foreign investors who want exposure to the Australian share market but are sceptical about the big miners because of their more direct exposure to the wavering economy in China, a major export destination, are piling into CBA. In fact, back in April, the AFR pointed to institutional investors in the US as some of the biggest buyers of the stock as they sought a safe haven from the market turmoil caused by the Trump administration's trade policies and economic agenda. There are also many loyal investors who have owned a stake in CBA since the bank floated back in 1991 at $5.40 per share. But their numbers have fallen, with the share of retail ownership dipping from 51.7% to 47.3% over the past 3 years as institutional investors pile in. Meanwhile, domestic investors have been selling to offshore investors as the share of local ownership fell from 77.5% to 75.3%. So it's probably a combination of global investors and super funds who are too afraid to deviate from the benchmark and fund managers too afraid to get fired who are being forced to pay a higher price to pry CBA stock out of the hands of loyal retail shareholders who don't want to pay hefty capital gains taxes but who do want to enjoy those sweet franked dividends. Just remember, though, that the inverse of the price-to-earnings ratio is the earnings yield, which has fallen to 3%. The bank pays out most of its profits in the form of dividends at last $4.75 apiece, which gives us the dividend yield of, wait for it, 2.6%. Now, that is well below the rate the bank is now paying on a three-month term deposit of 2.8% and below the Reserve Bank's cash rate of 3.85%. In fact, on Tuesday, investors snapped up a Commonwealth Bank subordinated bond with a yield of 5.2%. Putting tax considerations aside, a buyer of this bond will earn $5,250 of interest for the $100,000 investment made per year. That's double the $2,640 of income that a holder of 555 CBA shares, worth again about $100,000, would receive in the form of dividends. Now, of course, if you bought CBA shares back in 1991 for $5.40, the $4.75 dividend represents a 90% yield on the initial investment in 1 year. Interestingly, while CBA's profits are considered twice as valuable as its major bank rivals, the debt markets regard their interest payments equally. Commonwealth Bank commands virtually no premium in global funding markets, in which it has the same AA credit rating as its peers and pays the same margin over risk-free rates. To the bond market, all banks are equal. Another submission to the ASIC inquiry by private credit giant Apollo Global Management, one of the few major private capital giants to actually bother to make a submission, noted that Australia's public market had followed a similar pattern to equity markets around the world by becoming increasingly concentrated. In Australian equities, the top 10 constituents of ASX comprise about 47% of the ASX 100 index, meaning that investing in the ASX 200 is largely a concentrated investment in the big four banks and a small number of large resource stocks such as BHP and Rio, Apollo noted. S&P index weights also don't take account of low levels of liquidity. So as more money pours into passive strategies and those strategies automatically buy more CBA shares to match its high market weighting, concentrating in a relatively liquid stock gets worse and price discovery gets, frankly, weaker. So the question becomes, is the concentration of money pushing the CBA through the $300 billion barrier really a sign of a healthy market? And is it sustainable? Or are we in bubble territory? And will that bubble pop? Well, I guess time will tell. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.